It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Bible tells us that the Word was given to us for our edification, for our knowledge, and this helps us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible is given to us that we may grow as Christians and learn the things that God has for us. The King James Bible is the Word of God. I believe that it is God-breathed. It's written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God has placed within the Bible the things that you and I need to know, not only as Christians, but as those people who do not know Jesus as Savior. The Bible will help a person come to a knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, I'd like for us to look today and start in the book of 2 Peter. And we want to understand that our joy needs to be full. And this is somewhat of what Peter talks about here. And he also gives us some warnings as we look at this book. Now, Peter makes a reference to his imminent death in verse 14 of chapter 1. And by the way, let's look at just an overview of the book itself here, just a little if we can. Well, once again, he makes reference to his imminent death in verse 14 in chapter 1. He says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me." Well, Jesus Christ revealed this to Peter, that one day he was going to die, and also that at this time, as we're reading, he evidently had reason to believe and knowing that his death was going to be soon. It's generally accepted that Peter died during the reign of Nero. And since Nero commanded the people there, you'll remember how he was a ruthless dictator. He used to burn Christians. Nero committed suicide in 67 AD. And the epistle of 2 Peter must be dated before then. But the epistle was therefore probably written during around 67 AD. Well, the place of the writing is uncertain. But some believe that it was written by Peter during his imprisonment in Rome. Well, what about the purpose of the epistle? Peter states his purpose very clearly in writing this epistle. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." So we see that the purpose of this writing is to stir up the brethren. He wanted to stir his brethren up to remember certain things. And we're going to look at some of those things as we go through this epistle. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Well, Peter wanted them to remember certain things, and he had warned these people of certain things that would come about. And just as he was warning them, he's warning us today. Well, let's look at the introduction now to 2 Peter, and we see this introduction taking place in verses 1 and 2. And as we think of this, let's look at those verses, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." You see, the author, once again, we see in verse 1 here, is Simon Peter. The Apostle Peter, as stated in the salutation in verse 1, of course, the writer claims to have been present when the Lord was transfigured on the Mount. You remember that, how that he appeared there, that Christ was there and two others with him in white raiment. And Peter, James, and John were there, and they noticed and they saw this transfiguration. And you read about this in Matthew chapter 17. And in fact, in those verses, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 18, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And of course, this would be at the transfiguration. And it goes on to say in verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Peter there is talking about the transfiguration when Christ was on the Mount and he was present there with the Lord. Simon Peter, the writer of this epistle, was there, and he acknowledges acquaintance with the Apostle Paul. Once again, there's many references to different individuals here, and the most important was the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also made reference to the Apostle Paul, and we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Well, and we see here, so Peter was also acquainted with the Apostle Paul. And what's happening here is there's giving authority. He's stating some authority here of the people that he knows and the person of Jesus Christ. And you see, I have no problem accepting Peter, the apostle, as the writer of the epistle. Now, some people do not believe that, but I believe that Peter, the apostle, was the writer. And notice what he says about himself. He says, "Simon Peter, a servant." Well, he was a servant, and this word servant means bond servant. He was sold out to the Lord. Now, this is a far cry from what we saw of Peter's past, where he denied the Lord three times just before our Lord was crucified. We see now that Peter says, "Yes, I am a servant. I am a bondservant. I am sold out to the Lord, and I'm ready to lay down my life for my Savior." And of course, tradition tells us that he did lay down his life for his Lord. Well, he's a servant, as he has said here in verse 1, and he is an apostle. Apostles were those individuals who were chosen by our Lord. And also, we know that after Judas Iscariot betrayed our Lord, and I believe that Judas Iscariot was not a saved person, that he was replaced by Matthias in the book of Acts. Matthias was chosen. And I believe that after the early church, we see no more apostles. Well, the church age, as we know it today, does not contain apostles. It does not have apostles. Well, some would disagree with that, and that's up to them. They need to get in the Word of God, and they need to study the history that's contained in the Bible, not what man thinks. Don't look to man for the answers, but look to God for the answers. Look in the Scriptures. And if you'll follow the teaching of the Scriptures, you'll see that there are no apostles today. Well, the participants that we see in verse 1 here are those people who are saved. It says there, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, he's writing to the saved people in the faith. This letter is addressed to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the author here notes that this is the second epistle he has written to them. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, once again, it talks about that. The recipients of the letter were those Christian pilgrims. You can go back and read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 and chapter 2 and verse 11. And it talks about these people who were living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are provinces in what is now Turkey. Well, Peter goes on in the verse, and he continues greeting here, and he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He says, grace and peace be multiplied. And we see there in that verse, grace and peace are multiplied for whom? Christians. And how is it multiplied? Knowledge through learning. That's how it's multiplied. It's through learning more about God the Father and Jesus. Well, I find that, in my dealings with so many Christians today, they've stopped growing. In other words, they're somewhat what we might call pygmy Christians. They're not in the Word of God, and this is what Peter is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to get into the Word of God. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's how we learn, and that's how we stay strong in the Lord, through learning, through the knowledge of God. And there's one way and only one way to gain that knowledge of God, and that is through His Word. Dr. Henry Morris has said this about that. He says, Paul normally, he says, began his epistles with grace and peace in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. But Peter begins with grace times peace. Dr. Norris goes on to say, marvelous is the implication of infinite grace. And 2 Corinthians 8, 9, multiplied by infinite peace. Philippians 4, 7. Well, he says, the product can only be eternal fullness of what? Joy. Well, now you can read John chapter 15, verse 11 in connection with that. And in fact, let me read that. The Bible says there, these things, and John says this, have I spoken unto you? And this is the Lord speaking through the Apostle John here. As the Apostle John is writing this down, he says, once again in John 15, verse 11, these things, Jesus says, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So if you want to learn the things of God and gain the knowledge of God, get in the Scriptures. If you want the full joy, the joy that is unspeakable through Jesus Christ, it's not only the joy of knowing that you have eternal life, but it's the joy that is multiplied as you study the Word of God. And we gain more and more knowledge, more and more joy, as we understand who we are, how we've been saved, and who has saved us. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Peter says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Only saved people can gain this knowledge of God, the knowledge of joy, the knowledge of knowing you have eternal life, and that comes through Jesus our Lord. The unsaved person today can gain eternal life through the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But until that person comes to that saving knowledge, he will not understand the complete joy, the complete peace that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Peter continues on in verses 3 through 21, and he tells us, and he was telling these people as he wrote this epistle, grow in grace and knowledge. He wants people to understand that they can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And once again, I ask you today, have you trusted Him as your Savior? If not, you need to ask Him to come into your heart today. You need to trust Him as Savior. Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. Please save me. And if you'll be sincere with God, He'll be sincere with you, and He'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, lift me up and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.